So we continue our Close Encounters series, where we're learning from these encounters in John's Gospel, where people meet Jesus, and we're finding out how we can learn from those encounters, how we ourselves can grow closer to God. Following and gaining followers has never been more popular. John chapter 1, verses 35 to 51 is all about following. Andrew and Philip followed Jesus. And then they invited others to follow them to Jesus. Christians are followers. We follow Jesus and we are called to invite others to follow us to Jesus and for them to then spend their lives following him. To follow him not on social media, but in real life, in vibrant, joyful, fulfilled new life. So this sermon is all about us learning how following Jesus and spending time with him causes us to share our faith with others and invite them to follow him. And this is very timely, because 60 years on, from the start of Argyle Chapel, the need to share our faith with others has never been greater. So let's look what happens in the passage in John 1, 35 through 51. John the Baptist sees Jesus and he points him out, identifies him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And two disciples, one of whom was Andrew, follow Jesus. And then they spend time with him. They spend that day with him. And that's important because look at the effect that had, the spending time with Jesus had. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. So after following Jesus and spending time with him, the effect that has is that they tell people about Jesus and bring people to Jesus. And then as we move on through the passage, in verse 43, pretty much the same process happens again, but to Philip this time. Philip follows Jesus. And what effect does this have on Philip? He tells Nathanael about Jesus and he invites Nathanael to see Jesus. Do you see what's going on here in this part of John 1? Following Jesus and spending time with him has this effect of telling others about him and bringing others to him. That's what happened to Andrew and Philip. They found Jesus, they followed him, they spent time with him, and the effect was them bringing others to him. And it's the same with us. And that's what we're really focusing on in the sermon. That's the heart of the sermon. The more time we spend with Jesus, and the closer we are to him, and the more we are enjoying our relationship with him, then the more naturally we'll tell others about him. The telling others, the evangelism, the sharing our faith will be a kind of like an overflowing rather than a forced telling of a script that we've learned. It'll be a bubbling over of joy. I've been forgiven. I want you to meet Jesus like I have. You see, when you hear the word evangelism or you hear a sermon about sharing your faith with others or you're told you must follow the Great Commission and go and tell people, what's your reaction? Often, I feel like this right-hand emoji. And I feel like that because I struggle with it. And I often fail at it. And so when I'm told I should do it, a mixture of guilt and dread kind of comes into my mind. And I think a lot of us feel like that. Why is it that we find it so hard to share our faith? Well, sometimes we make this negative assumption in our heads. We just assume that people won't be interested. oh, no, I can't tell that person because they won't be interested. But we just assume, and it's a negative assumption, and it might not be true. They might be interested. They might be searching. Or we feel a bit ashamed of Christianity. Deep down we think, oh, Christianity sounds so outdated and weird and boring and phobic. And so we don't want to tell people. Or we've got a good friendship with somebody and we think, I really don't want to start telling them about Jesus because that might mess up this relationship I have with them. And I don't want that. Or perhaps it's because we anticipate it being difficult. It isn't always difficult, but sometimes we anticipate it is because we think they're going to ask me such tough questions and I won't be able to answer them. I'll mess it up, so it's not even worth starting in the first place. Or we experience fear and we're afraid of rejection, or we're afraid of being pigeonholed, or we're afraid of being stereotyped. We don't want that, so we don't open our mouths. Or perhaps people's opinion of us is what matters most to us, and so we don't really want to say anything that might cause them to lower their opinion of us. And we think telling them about Jesus might, so we don't tend to tell them. The great commission becomes the great omission. We become like Arctic rivers, frozen at the mouth. I read that. I thank J. John for that. I stole it from him. But we do, don't we? All these things mean we're on the back foot and we're defensive and we're closed to opportunities to our faith. Another J. John quote. Many of us have heard opportunity knocking at our door, opportunity to share our faith. But by the time we unhooked the chain, pushed back the bolt, turned two locks and switched off the burglar alarm, it was gone. And that's how it is often, isn't it? So how do we overcome all this? Our fears and our negative assumptions and our frozenness and our omission and so on. We do what Andrew and Philip did. We spend time with Jesus. And as we do that, our relationship with him will deepen. And we'll grow closer to him. And evangelism will happen naturally as a result. It will flow to others out of our relationship with God. You see, the heart of Christianity is not about rules and religion and ritual. Instead, it's about rescue and revelation and relationship. And we see that in the passage in John. So verse 29 is all about the rescue, the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. We see revelation. Jesus is revealed as who he is, the Messiah, God's chosen one, the Christ. And we see the relationship part of things too in verse 39. They spent time with him. They didn't just receive information, download, and that was it. They hung out with him. They spent time with him. When we have a happy relationship with God, that overcomes our tendency to play it safe or deliberately avoid evangelism because of our worries or our laziness or our fears of weakness or our sense of incompetence or whatever it is that stops us. The gospel supplies us with the confidence that we need to tell people about Jesus. And when we embrace the gospel, I'm talking about we've already become Christians, but as we absorb and continue to enjoy those gospel truths, what happens to us? Well, as we do that, it changes who we are. You see, the gospel is all about our identity, who we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 sums it up so brilliantly. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's who we are. We're in Christ now. That changes things dramatically. We're new people now. We're new creations. And that means that we can say with certainty, I am accepted. I'm forgiven by God. I'm welcomed in to his family. He wants me with him. It also means we can say, I am secure. Secure in God's love. Secure about who I am. My future is secure as well, my eternal future. And it also means that we can say, I am significant. I have purpose and meaning. I'm made in God's image. I have the dignity of being in God's likeness and being his child now. And the more we feed ourselves with these beautiful truths, the more we share our faith. They affect us deep down. For example, if we have fear about sharing our faith, well, we're not afraid anymore because of our acceptance in Christ. That gives us this solid foundation. Or perhaps we feel insecure about sharing our faith because of other people's opinions. Well, because we're secure in Christ, and we know his opinion of us, God's opinion of us, we're not so worried about other people's opinion. It affects us deep down at the heart level and enables us and releases us to tell people about Jesus. The thing about a relationship with God is it has this propulsion kind of effect. So here's God. I've shown this diagram before from the infographic Bible, representing God as Trinity. And from the Trinity flows grace, flows God's overflowing, generous, undeserved love to us. And this flow of grace means that our relationship with God is an accepting, affirming, close, transforming one. And that leads to shalom. That's us. That's C is a Christian. So it means that the Christian experiences shalom. That means inner peace, well-being, a balanced life blessed by God. There's that deep down joy that's independent of circumstances and so on. And that in turn leads to evangelism, sharing our faith. An overflowing of shalom, really, I think that's what evangelism is. It's a delight in our relationship with God, where you're forgiven and you're secure and you're significant. You want to tell people about that because it's great. And really this is a summing up of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. Christ's love, the grace that comes from God, our Trinitarian God, changes us and transforms us and compels us and moves us, propels us to tell people about Christ. So if getting close to Christ and having a good relationship with him causes us to share our faith more, how do we get close to Christ? How do we get near to God and have this, allow this to have the effect that we've been thinking about? Well, we spend time taking in who we are in Christ, taking on board our new identity, believing who we are, enjoying who we are, possessing who we are, rejecting who we're not. That's really important. I read about this guy who loved skiing. And one year he got a new ski pass, like an electronic thing that you just keep in your ski jacket, so that when he got to the ski lift, he just kind of moved near the reader and the gate opened, he got the ski lift. And he got this new pass, but he found it didn't seem to work properly, and he used to have to do this weird kind of dance to try and make the gate open. And he wondered what was wrong, and he discovered that he had last year's ski pass in the other pocket, and it was interfering, the electronic signal was kind of interfering. So as soon as he got rid of the old pass and chucked it, the situation was improved, the problem was solved. And it's kind of like that with our new identity. Sometimes we sort of revert, almost, to our old identity before we met Christ. And those habits come, and then it causes all sorts of problems for us. But we need to throw out the old identity. That's not us anymore. And recognize who we really are in Christ. And a really good way to do this is to tell ourselves over and over again and keep on believing and re-believing, because Lord, I believe it helped my unbelief. Keep on re-believing who we are. And I want to finish off the sermon by doing that now. By using this I am accepted, I am secure, I am significant model, just to remind us who we are. I just want to finish off by taking some time to be still so that we absorb, we're reminded of, we're amazed by, we're enjoying our new identity in Christ. I got these from Freedom in Christ Ministries. I am accepted. We can say this if we're Christians. This is amazing, this is. So I just want to run through this. I am accepted. I renounce the lie that I'm rejected, unloved, or shameful. In Christ, I am accepted. God says, I'm God's child. I'm Christ's friend. I've been justified. I'm united with God. I've been bought with a price. I belong to him. I'm a member of Christ's body. I'm a saint, not a sinner. I'm a holy one now. I've been adopted into God's family. I have direct access to God. I've been redeemed, forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. That's who I am now. That's who you are now if you're a Christian. That's your new identity. That's incredible. And taking that in will change us. I am secure if I've become a Christian. I renounce the lie that I'm guilty, unprotected, alone or abandoned. In Christ, I am secure. God says, I'm free from condemnation. I'm assured that all things work together for good. I'm free from any condemning charges against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I've been established, anointed, sealed by God. I'm confident that the good work God has begun in me will be completed. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm hidden with Christ in God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. I can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. I'm born of God, and the evil one can't harm me. That's our security that we have in Christ. But we're also significant. I renounce the lie that I'm worthless, inadequate, hopeless, or helpless. Helpless or hopeless, sorry. In Christ, I'm significant. God says, I'm the salt of the earth, the light of the world. I'm the branch of the true vine. I've been chosen and appointed by God. I'm a personal, spirit-empowered witness of Christ. I'm a temple of God. I'm a minister of reconciliation for God. I'm a fellow worker with God. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. I'm God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom, with confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not the great I am, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So as we celebrate 60 years today, let's be a church full of Christians who embrace their new identity in Christ. Because as we do that, that will cause us to share the good news with people, for their blessing and for God's glory.